is nou net met die gaven die in Paul is zat. Wij hebben...
Hindi films. My interest in Hindi films started just a few years ago. I was at home, bored, just zapping around the TV when I came upon one of the local cable access channels. This is the kind of station that shows locally made programs, and you can expect to see, well, just about anything. This time, I heard this exotic music. This chubby guy with a bad haircut was doing a jerky dance with this very beautiful woman in a sari. They were jumping and throwing their arms around in what seemed to me a most unnatural manner. Most importantly, the dance was unabashedly erotic. At first, I watched for a laugh. I'd never seen anything like it. But then, I was fascinated. This was a wedding scene done with the kind of sumptuousness long since lost to the Hollywood musical. What's more, they took it really seriously, so I began to take it more seriously. Then, whenever these things turned up on TV, I would watch them. It didn't matter that I couldn't understand the language, as I could usually follow the story. Boy meets girl. Evil bad guy keeps boy and girl apart. Boy triumphs over evil bad guy after many twists and turns in a comedy or tragedy of errors. And they would then be united in a massive wedding scene towards the end. My interest grew, and eventually I learned that there were thousands of these movies, and that most of them were made in Mumbai, India, a place that has come to be known as Bollywood.
Radio Netherlands, the Dutch international service, presents Bollywood for Westerners. The program is produced and presented by Jonathan Gruber.
Welcome to Mumbai, the city of 15 million citizens formerly known as Bombay in the Indian state of Maharashtra. It's India's commercial and creative center. 400 people arrive here each day either to escape dire poverty or pursue their dreams, or both. And Mumbai is also the heart of India's film industry. They say 1,000 films or more are made each year in India, and most of them are made here. That makes the Indian film industry larger than Hollywood's by a long shot. Mumbai or Bombay? People can't agree what to call this city, but most agree one term fits. With so many films being made here, they call this place Bollywood. Almost all Bollywood films, from comedy to drama to action thriller, follow a universally strict formula of catchy music, epic dance numbers, sickly sweet love affairs that are never consummated, and, frankly, unconvincing action. Somehow it all works, not just here, but in almost every part of the world, except the West. But to understand why, there are a few essential things you need to know.
See, the emotion of love is always the biggest hit box office wise. Elton John will always sell more records than any rock group because love is universal.
Pankaj Parashar is a big name in Bollywood. He's known for his slick thrillers and has also made forays into advertising. He's a real lover of high tech. So I spoke to him in his home office, surrounded by air-conditioned computers and electronics. He told me that the characters in Hindi film are archetypes.
Due to lack of rock stars or MTV here for quite some time, we had our film hero as a one-all for everything. I mean, a guy would be a Michael Jackson and a John Wayne combined because we didn't have separate people as heroes. So we have a hero who dances like Michael Jackson and also is a cowboy and also is Ryan O'Neill who will be involved in a love story, all rolled into one.
All right, so we're talking about the heroes now. What about the heroines?
One is that she cannot be immoral, she cannot sleep around, she can't use bad language. What I'm talking about is 95% of the films.
That is a problem because those people, they were supposed to be uploading the cache files on the same day.
Oma Qureshi is editor of one of India's premier Bollywood internet sites and one of the organizers of the Filmfare Awards, the Bollywood Oscars. And he agrees. It's the archetypes of Indian cinema that are all part of the winning formula.
The Hindi male actor is a family man. He's strong, he's fearless, he's brave, he can sing songs, he can dance, he can beat up 10 men, he can fight with tigers, and he loves children, and he's a baby when it comes to his own mother. And the Indian movie actress, she's supposed to look extremely pretty, flutter her eyelashes, look extremely helpful, is a virgin until her wedding night, and runs off into the sunset with the hero at the end of the movie.
And yet, the more of these movies I watch, the more I realize how important sex is actually in these movies, or maybe even said better, sensuality.
I think sensuality is a better word to use in context of the Indian movie actress rather than sex, because sex is always underplayed in our Indian movies. When they show a lovemaking scene, they show two flowers banging against each other, or they show a butterfly alighting on a flower, or they show a rainbow, or they show rain or thunder, but they don't actually show sex. So it's sensuality. They'll show a woman drenched in a sari, clinging to her body, each curve outline in the rain. But they will not show her nude. They will not show her semi-nude. She's supposed to be virginal. She should be desired by the audience. She shouldn't bear all.
Are Indian audiences satisfied with this, or is that changing?
Indian audiences are satisfied because it leaves them wanting more. But probably I don't think they would accept a heroine who shows all or tells all. They won't accept her. They won't respect her.
Just how important is Bollywood cinema to Indian society, Indian culture?
Bollywood cinema is inspired by Indian culture, but Bollywood cinema is, I think, the be-all and the end-all of Indian society when it comes to portraying role models. Every entertainment is Indian cinema to the Indian audiences. There is nothing else in India. We don't have bowling alleys. We don't have malls. We don't have skating rinks. We have just cinema, which is what people go see, enjoy, and come home. That's the only entertainment there is here. See, in Hollywood, you have other icons. You have rock stars. You have models, you know, who are supermodels. Here, there's no such thing as a supermodel. There are no rock stars who are really big. It's just actors and actresses, which is why it makes it even bigger. And because there's so many more movies being made here than in Hollywood.
Yeah, and what about all of this business you have here? One of the newest, biggest hunks is a gentleman by the name of Hrithik Roshan, muscle-bound hero type. And he was accused of having said something against the Nepalese. What was that all about?
There was a statement in a Nepalese newspaper which accused Hrithik Roshan of having said something anti-Nepalese, which caused a lot of problems in that country.
Problems in the forms of street riots.
Problems in the form of, yes, street riots and effigies being burnt, and to the extent of shops being burned down owned by Indians.
This was something of an international incident between the two governments at a certain point, yeah?
This was obviously a cause of concern. But later, there was nothing to it.
Concern
to the two countries in question, because, one small item in a newspaper, whether substantiated or not, can trigger off something that big, which can damage relations between two countries. I think it's a serious cause for concern.
Hi, how are you? Mr. Sami, how are you doing?
Stars and famous personalities schmoozing at a benefit concert for the victims of Gujarat's recent earthquake.
Wherever your name is, you have to do that. No, we'll do it.
Yeah, hear this.
Just for technical purposes, would you please say your name and your profession?
Hello, my name is Ravina Tandon. I am an actress. I'm trying to be an actress, and I hope one day I succeed.
Ravina Tandon is more than trying to be an actress. She's a star in her own right and a 10-year veteran of the industry. When it comes to fame and fanaticism, she's seen it all.
Down south, they make temples for stars. The two heroines who they've made temples for and a superstar, they idolize them, they worship them in the south. In Rajasthan, I don't know whether you've heard of Dharminder. He's like the He-Man. He's been there since a long, long time. He's obviously old now, retired. His sons are into movies. But he has his temple in Rajasthan. They've all of them like worship him.
Has he become part then of the Hindu pantheon in that way? Or what do you mean? What do you mean?
In the sense like I think the fan club gets together and makes a little, you know, with either his statue or his photograph, and then they garland him every day, and it is that kind.
Has anybody done anything like that with you?
I know. Yes, I have been garlanded a lot of times, but there's not been such a majority of fan club. But these guys have been there for like about 40 years or 30 years.
What does that do to you psychologically?
See, it depends on this depends individually on people. There are a lot of people who can get carried away, and there are a lot of people now we've seen so much that it's fine. Then after they've reached a certain pinnacle, that if they have a flop or they have a couple of flops or another superstar comes in, they go wacko, yeah? They're completely wacko, yeah. For example, there was Rajesh Khanna, who was a phenomenon. I mean, I'm talking about women committed suicide the day he got married. And then Amitabh Bachchan walked in. And he was the newest superstar. And suddenly Rajesh Khanna could not handle it. His marriage went bust. He got a divorce. He went crazy. He became an alcoholic. And it just went bust like that.
Can you walk down a street without being mobbed?
No, that I can't. That'd be foolish for me to even try.
Do you miss that?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Aasu, nahi aana chahiye. Andar hai idhar ko bas. Don't.
I've had a stroke of luck. I've managed to get invited to a press conference. A production company has invited the entire Mumbai press corps, plus me, up to Film City. This is one of the big studios in the northern suburbs where the industry churns out their films, not to mention television series and commercials. Anyway, the producers of Bhoothe Ho Bhoothe, or Best Wishes for Your Marriage, want to plug their new product. And they're giving us the opportunity to meet the stars and watch them film. I shoved my microphone in front of the director and leading lady after they'd finished filming a scene. They were clearly taken aback at not being instantly recognized.
What is your name, sir?
My name?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to tell my name.
Yeah.
My name is Satish Kaushik. I am a director, I'm an actor, and I'm her admirer.
And how's it going?
It's pretty well. We started the movie now. And it is our just second schedule.
What's this scene about?
This whole scene? This is the interval point of the film. The intermission point in the film. We can't reveal too much what is happening in this scene. But it is the most dramatic scene of the film.
It's a turning point in the film. And well, if you tell you about the scene, the crux of the scene is where there's a major turn of events happening.
By the way, you are?
I'm Shilpa Shetty and I'm the actress in this film.
So, you were saying this is the turning point of the film.
Yeah, this is where the mystery unfolds and the audience gets to know exactly who is who.
And how's it going? How do you feel? I mean, it seemed like you had a little difficulty, but all the press was around you, yeah?
Yeah, actually, it's a very tense scene happening and, you know, kind of distracts you. But when you have a good director behind the camera, you kind of regain confidence within yourself. So, this is my first film with Satish Ji and... I've always wanted to work with him and he's always had this image of portraying women very well and very strong. So this is quite a welcome change in my career. Yeah.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Steaming past the unlimited buffet, I ran into another star who was a bit more modest, not only about himself, but also about his industry as compared to Hollywood.
My name is Puru Rajkumar. I'll spell it for you. Okay, that's Puru Rajkumar.
What role do you play in this film?
Oh, in this, I am the main villain, if you please. He is basically the fulcrum of the story, after which the entire movie rotates around.
So how important is the villain to the Bollywood story?
Very important, frankly. And to be very honest with you, the thing what is happening now is, in the Hindi film industry, yeah? And I hate the term Bollywood, first and foremost. If you've watched any of the 50s and 60s movies, the concept of a villain, okay, as against the concept of a hero, has been distorted too much in the 80s and 90s. For this particular movie, there is no hero or a villain, you see? Because my character, the way they've shown it, fortunately, or... realistically or otherwise, they're based on true-to-life characters. It's a very normal guy. My character is a very normal guy, basically. It's more of an act of revenge towards this particular woman that he rapes her. Now, that's extremely a warped idea, you see. But then there are people like that around, and there are very much. So it's not in the Hindi movie sense a typical villain, which I don't do.
And do you feel that you're playing an atypical character is important? Or is it typical of, say... change in Hindi cinema?
No. For me, playing an atypical character is important, number one. Number two, Hindi cinema as it grows is bound to change. Strangely enough, whatever you define progress as, we are going back to the yesteryears of Hindi cinema where there were characters in a movie, okay, and each character had a particular job to do. Jack Nicholson, for that matter. Sean Connery, for that matter. They still come under the bracket of heroes. Legends, now. But you don't have that ideal as to that he is a villain or he is not a villain or he is a hero. See, Hollywood and Hindi movies have gone through the same screw-ups, basically. They're equally bad or equally good.
Puru Raj Kumar hates the term Bollywood as it draws unjustified comparisons to its Californian counterpart. For example, Bollywood stars work much harder. Just ask Ravina Tandon how many projects she's working on.
10.
How is that possible?
And that too because on the contrary these days, like after working for nearly 10 and a half years, I have sort of, slowed my pace down, you can say. I sign less films and I do less work, but yet it becomes 10 because we mostly shoot at a time, for example, I've signed on 10 films. Like we could, for example, last month I shot for 3 films in like 1.5 weeks for another film and the rest of the week for another film and so on and so forth.
How many projects are you working on right now?
Currently 7.
Now, how do you time manage 7 projects?
I guess you just have to go with the flow and I guess you have to sacrifice on your life. You have no personal life left. So it's basically work, work, more work, and still more work, basically.
And yet I'm sure the gossip magazines managed to find time of accusing you of having a relationship with a starlet.
Yeah. They're the most original, actually. They sit on their desks. Some of them are bored. So they wonder, let's see, what should we do now? So break up a couple of names, yes. It works that way.
And how do you feel when they do that?
Initially, I used to get pretty upset. But now, I guess, if you take it in your stride. And sometimes it works to your advantage, if you ask me. You never know you're linked to somebody, then you actually happen to meet her. And there is that sense of awkwardness there initially. And then you break the ice over such a stupid topic, and you become good friends. You see, look at the positive side. And their magazine sells, so what can I say?
Not only are actors working on fewer films, but fewer films are being made. 1,000 or more films get made each year following the winning formula, but the fact is, most of them are flops. It's only the lucky few that actually parlay the formula into mega hits. And besides that, there are lucrative foreign markets. You see, with the exception of the West, Bollywood films are big just about everywhere. The director Pankaj Parashar thinks there's a simple reason for that.
You know, we actually look down on the Hollywood scripts. Because if someone says, comes and narrates a film to me and the producer calls, so I call him, the producer, and say, it's an English film. That's a derogatory remark. So he understands totally. An English film is, it's got one track, it's a 90-100 minute film, it doesn't have enough twists. There is going to be one problem that is solved in a very simple manner and depending a lot on action. So it's derogatory when we say English picture. it's like a, like it's a bad writer, you know. Do you know that the biggest foreign hit in Japan is not a Hollywood film? It's not Titanic. It's a South Indian film starring a film star called Rajnikant. And he's a god down south. And he made a movie which touched the hearts of the Japanese teenage audience. And they saw a subtitled version of the film and they kept on seeing it. And then the songs have become big hits. And so there is a nerve there. If the Hindi film, if it catches it, if you go past the faces and the overacting and the bad colors and the bad sound, then it can go and touch your heart. Once it does that, then you become addicted to it. What I'm talking about is for the non-Indian people who have watched it and has become popular with them, like, you know, in Middle East and Egypt and now in Japan, China and Russia. Russia, the biggest hits have been Indian films. 60, 70 years old sing Hindi songs, Russians. They know the full song because it touched their heart.
But enough of talking about movies. It's time to go see a movie.
So right now I'm in the center of Mumbai and I'm standing around at one of the most popular film theaters. It's called the Eros Cinema. And with me is my guide. Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Manoj.
Okay. And Manoj and I are going to go see a movie called Kuch Kati, Kuch Meethi, which means?
Something sweet and something salt.
And this film's going to take approximately how long?
About 2.5 hours.
Yeah, and is that typical of the Bollywood movie?
Yeah, that's a typical Bollywood movie. 2.5 hours.
Well, we'll see you inside.
So Manoj and I got our turmeric-flavored popcorn and settled into the film. Something Sour, Something Sweet is about twins separated at birth. An evil aunt wants to inherit her rich brother's money, so she tells her brother that his wife and one twin has died in childbirth, while she tells his brother's wife her husband has died in an accident. The new mother moves from India to Scotland in her grief. Then the evil aunt tries to make her brother die of alcoholism and get rid of the other twin. The Indian twin, Sweetie, runs off to Britain, where she accidentally runs into her sister, Tina. Did you follow that? Not important. What does matter is that all the ingredients are there. Romance, villainy, revenge, personal growth, and redemption. They're all there in giant doses. And of course, the twins are used in the same way Petrarch and Shakespeare set down centuries ago, as a plot device to confuse and amuse.
Look, look, we are twins. Kasmanu ka, Jurva, twins.
Okay, so now we've just come out after the movie, and Minoj, what's your review?
I think it's a very good movie. It is a super hit.
And why?
I think it had everything. It had too much emotion, the drama, everything was there. And and mostly it had an happy ending. That's what it had the most.
Don't they always have happy endings?
No, 95% of the movies do have a happy ending in Bollywood.
Yeah.
Because that's how the audience is, and that's what it is all about.
I have to agree, Kuch Kati Kuch Miti was pretty good. It was filmed well, and the scenes with the twins, played by the actress Kajol, were seamless. It was also very international, with many of the scenes filmed in Scotland and London. One of the twins, the sour one, is written as quite modern and, dare I say, westernized. She's even rebellious enough to refuse an arranged marriage. These more daring plot developments have much to do with Indian social change. But Indian filmmakers also recognize that they must appeal to an ever-growing international market.
My name is Rakesh Mehra and I direct movies.
Yeah.
I just finished a film called Ux. The genre is thriller. It's more like a psychological thriller.
Rakesh Mehra is hoping for a first. He wants to have an Indian film that is successful without the Bollywood formula, yet won't disappear into the arty film circuit internationally. In other words, both the critical and commercial success in India and abroad.
Times are changing. This is a period of transition for the Indian cinema right now as we are talking. Things are changing. The younger generation is moving in and they want to do things their way. India is certainly out here. We are realizing that we are no more just a citizen of this country. We are also a global citizen. It's unacceptable anymore to us to see movies which are imitation of the West, especially the commercial ones. Also, we want our product to go out in the world and be sold there and accepted commercially. Right now, the Indian movies which are faring well outside India are faring well in the Indian belt or the Asian belt. I would like anybody else in the West to see an Indian movie and enjoy it and pay for it.
And just how does Rakesh Mehra hope to catch the interest of the West?
Good movies. There's a very simple answer. There's no big philosophy behind it. You give a good product, a good storyline, good performances, technically suave, and that will be accepted.
The Asian Artists, The Asian Channel. Zee Music.
India is moving into the 21st century as a high-tech economic power. The vast variety of programming on satellite TV is changing the tastes of India's new information technology-powered middle class. And the whole Bollywood industry is quickly undergoing a transformation to meet these changes.
There is a mushrooming middle class and a lower middle class which goes to cinema. In the smaller cities also there is a satellite explosion. We have so much of foreign, from CNBC to BBC to all kinds of channels which are there, that their tastes are changing. MTV, Channel V is there in every house. People cannot understand English, but they can watch MTV. But at the root of it, the family, the basic emotional conflict, that is not changing. When a good film comes with good acting and good emotions, it always is the biggest hit. So the past exists, the present and a bit of the future, all three exist at the same time. The good thing is that the ticket money has increased. So if a film is directed at the cities, you can still make money if it only runs in the cities. 10 years back, if it ran only in cities, it was declared a flop. Now you can design a film which is Western in its attitude and release it in cities and abroad. There's a lot of money coming from overseas, from Asians who are settled abroad. And the happy thing is now the distribution is getting regulated. You know, there are big multinationals who do distribution. So every rupee that is there is accounted for. And we're discovering that the amounts are huge. Now films are being designed for an overseas Asian audience also. So we're getting different pockets and segments.
Changing for the better because earlier it was not accepted as an industry, but now it's been given industry status by the government. So, and they're getting funding from sponsors, foreign investment, all that, with all the extra money coming in, they're channelizing it properly. And I think Indians have always been great businessmen.
And why is this happening?
I mean, the focus till now was on agriculture and industry, but not on cinema as an industry. But now they realize that the amount of money that comes in from cinema is pretty much huge. So they had to give it industry status, and now all the money will be white. The movie stars are taxed. A lot of taxes coming in from. So I think the government gains from it, the industry gains from it.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is it about awards that make you become suddenly very confessional? One fine morning,
the Indian entertainer and superstar in his own time, Amitabh Bachchan, gratefully accepting his Best Supporting Actor trophy at the Filmfare Awards. Later in the show, a waxwork figure of him is revealed, a figure that is a new standard feature at Madame Tussauds in London. The recent film Kuch Kuch Hota Hai was one of Britain's top-grossing films, and this international recognition calls up some startling facts. Right now, one out of every 5 people on the planet lives in South Asia. And Bollywood's popularity goes far beyond the subcontinent. The Indian film industry is probably the only film industry in the world that has no fear of Hollywood. It's becoming more technically savvy, more well-organized, and more well-funded. In fact, if Indian society, and consequently Indian filmmakers, continue on their present course of development, Hollywood may end up competing for worldwide screen space with Bollywood.
Globally, the world is getting very small now. It's getting closer to each other. Earlier, it was only the West. The Europe and America got very close because of the ties and after the Industrial Revolution and the Second World War. But now, it's 50 years hence, the world is becoming even smaller. So we can feel the change, and it is not an option for me to make a movie which is globally accepted. It is imperative. It has to happen. And somebody has to do it. And so I can see a lot of us thinking like that.
You've been listening to Bollywood for Westerners. The program was produced and presented by Jonathan Gruber. This has been a Radio Netherlands presentation.